podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? Welcome to As Is Team Selection ahead of Game Week 24. Game Week 23 has just finished. What a match last night. Really enjoyed it. Two top teams going at it. Arsenal didn't take their chances. And if you don't take your chances against Man City, what happens? You're punished. I'm guessing there's a few Ben White owners. Mixed feelings, I guess, if you had him. Obviously didn't see him start, worried about rotation. And then Tomiyasu makes a mistake and you've got to think Ben White's going to come back in. Nketiah getting an assist, getting booked, and then, you know, missing a really good chance to score that header. Saka taking the penalty. Owners would be very happy from him. Goal and assist in that match as well. And De Bruyne finally getting some attacking returns for people like me who have held on to him for this long. I hope everyone's good. I have a spot on my head. Please ignore that. I'm also pretty much over COVID now. If you watched my last video, I was saying I was going to go back to Essex and I was going to do a COVID test. And then the COVID test was positive. So I stayed in. A surprising amount of negativity about even doing a COVID test on Twitter, which I find a bit baffling. So don't be one of those people. Just, you know, keep testing if you can. I know it's more difficult now, but, you know, keep trying to protect other people, look out for each other, because why not? So what we're going to be talking about today, we are going to be talking about how I got on in Game Week 23. I'm not going to lie, I thought I was going to get a big green arrow. I was really, really happy with how my team was set up. It looked like a free hit team, and it didn't do that well. As you can see, I got a red arrow. It was only a small one in the end, but still pretty annoying. We're going to talk about how my team is set up for game week 24. Bit of a weird game week 24 because it's kind of the calm before the storm, before the blank double game week in 25, before we've got to start thinking about Brighton's double and then the blank in 28 with the FA Cup games and stuff. So it kind of feels like a lot of people are going to be rolling the transfer this week. I'm on the fence about it. I might do, but we'll talk about some of my plans. And then we're going to come back to my watch list as well, just to see some of the updated player stats. There's a couple of new names on the watch list as well. And no surprise, the title of this stream is about a certain Chelsea striker with Chelsea sort of dividing opinion, form versus fixtures debate. I'll be talking a bit about him and whether we should be looking to get him in. So hello, everyone in the chat. Hello to James Brewer, dropped from 12K to 21K. Yeah, nasty one. It's funny, though. I mean, I dropped 40,000, and I say it's 40,000 places, and I say that's a small red. You went 12 to 21, so less places than me, but yeah, big red based on where you were. John Meehan, good evening from Perth. Good evening to all the people, you know, all the people watching kind of around the world. Amazing last week, you know, had South Africa, Mozambique, Australia, Nigeria, everywhere. So amazing. Good morning to Ralph Lawrence as well. Hello. And to Armsley, enjoying the lobby music chat too as well. Beautiful. Right, let's take a look then. Game week 23 for old Azzy baby. 74 points for me. A back line. Look at this. A back line of Kepa at West Ham, who can't score. 2 points. Trippier and Botman against Bournemouth, who can't score. 2 and 1 points. Zinchenko, double game week. Villa at home, Man City. 3 points for him. I was really disappointed with Zinchenko, actually. I think he had two quite poor games across both those matches. You know, it was White that dropped out of the last game. It could have been him or Zinchenko, really. Obviously, Tierney's waiting in the wings. I was really surprised to see Tomiyasu come in, given that the last game he played was against Man City. And he was poor. And, you know, he got better after his mistake, but it was an awful mistake. I mean, you can't just kick the ball back, you know, into the danger area like that. He should have put it out for a throw-in. And dealt with it better. So you've got to imagine White comes back in. But Zinchenko was poor. I mean, gave the ball away a few times. He's coming into midfield without having a huge influence on the game. He had a couple of crosses that went a bit wayward. Not too impressed by him. So I do wonder if we might start seeing a few changes in the Arsenal side, given, you know, they've been so impressive all year and Arteta hasn't kind of you know, chopped and changed. So, you know, are we going to start seeing some things? Yeah, you're right. FPL Gem should have assisted Nketiah. I was gutted about that. That would have been like the ultimate black box goal because Mark has Nketiah and I've got Zinchenko, and Zinchenko put it, you know, right on a plate for Nketiah, but he couldn't score. And then after that, Zinchenko's crosses were awful. There was one he did which just went out into like Rosie. Absolutely awful. So yeah, terrible for my back line. Slight worries about Zinchenko as well, and without the bench to really cope if he does miss out. So yeah, a bit of a concern. De Bruyne and Saka both with 15 each. Yeah, it was really about time for De Bruyne. It's been really, really disappointing holding him for this, but I think anyone who made that kind of De Bruyne to Fernandes move for their double and then went Fernandes back to De Bruyne, even for a hit, that, you know, richly rewarded in that, this kind of premium swapping, would have worked out really well. So congrats if you did that and held on to him. It was a nice 15 points for him. Saka as well. I mean, I did talk about, you know, potentially captaining Saka. In the end, I went for Haaland. I did think, you know, going into the final game when it was close, that if you would offered me the swap with them both on the same points, I would have taken Saka. I thought Arsenal could have won that game. Obviously, they didn't. Haaland, yeah, I mean, interesting. I mean, he obviously scored as well. Could have had a penalty. There's a kind of a slight offside call as well, but generally speaking, looked to struggle a little bit. Saliba dealt with him really well. They weren't really getting the ball to him again. We've seen that in the past before. It's another game without a big return for him, and you know, Rashford's form as well. Doubles coming up. Is Haaland really going to be the kind of perma-captain that we've seen him be earlier in the season? It looks like that is kind of dropping a little bit as they find ways to score. Other players are getting involved without him. Obviously, the season he's had so far is incredible, but you can't just base your decisions on what's happened. You've got to look ahead. And I do wonder if we're going to start seeing a little bit more, you know, bravery with managers going against Haaland. Or at least if people are looking to rise up the ranks, you know, with the clock ticking down a little bit on the game weeks, are we going to see people start going against Haaland? Might be too early to say. Maybe it's City clicking into form. Maybe, you know, they are going to start unlocking him. But, you know, the fact the goals are being shared out a little bit more might indicate that Haaland isn't quite be going to have quite the impact that he had at the start of the season. But, yeah, obviously still a powerful option if he's playing. Rashford with 8. I mean, his form is absolutely relentless. I think he's basically cemented for everyone that they're not going to be selling him, even with the blank coming up. He's an absolute must keep. I do wonder if maybe he's a captain option this week as well. Playing Leicester at home, who keep conceding goals, or, you know, are people going to go for Haaland against Forest or De Bruyne? I'll talk about the captaincy in a bit. Odegaard with 4. Now, Odegaard is actually been really, really disappointing, and he's kind of getting a bit of a free pass because of this double coming up. But this is a lot of blanks for him now. This is the third blank in a row against Everton, Brentford and Man City. Okay, he got the assist against Man United. He got a goal against Spurs before that, but then he blanked against Newcastle as well. So it's 4 blanks in 6 for him. I mean, he had a really, really good spell kind of before that, you know, getting, I think he got 4 double digits in 5 matches. But, you know, it's a bit of a concern with him. He didn't look that involved in the kind of the key attacking areas in the last game. And I want to start seeing him performing a bit more going forward, especially because, you know, we're all going to be tripled up on Arsenal. And if this isn't a blip, you know, this is 3 poor results for them now in a row. If they are going to start to sort of tank and really go off the boil, I think it's going to be Odegaard and the defence that we look to ship on. So, yeah, we want to start seeing a bit more from Odegaard going forward. Needs him to start picking up those assists. I think he's still Arsenal's top scorer alongside Saka as well. But if you're picking one out of the two, I think you stick with Saka, given that he's got pens and it was a great penalty he scored. Matoma with 2. Oh, really disappointing result for Brighton. You know, just so comfortable in that game. All the attacking, all the threat, all the chances. You know, good chances for a lot of our players. Matoma had a good shot as well. I just went over the bar, but coming with 2 points. I think nothing to worry about with him. Obviously got the blank coming up. Still good price. Still got the double. If you've got him, you'll be happy. If you've got March, you'll be really happy as well. You know, I think a lot of people would have reversed that call and done Matoma to March if they could have done. But now that kind of decision is looking a little bit better, given that Matoma blanked to March, got a double digit. So, yeah, either those 2 good options, I'd be keeping. If I had them, I'd be keeping Matoma as well. Haaland, I mentioned. And finally, Kane. I mean, Kane away at Leicester, you expect big things, don't you? You're not expecting Leicester to score four goals and Spurs probably score one. I mean, it's got to go down as one of the worst Spurs performances in recent memory. I think absolutely torn apart over and over again. Porro with one of the worst debuts I think a lot of people have seen. Defence poor, a new injury in midfield, which is going to cause some huge problems, you know, with Bentancur now out. And then the attack, which is, you know, almost full, well, it's full strength. Son, Kane, Richarlison, Kulusevski, all there and struggling a little bit to convert and create chances. So, yeah, really poor performance from them. Nothing to worry about with Kane, but, you know, you want to see a bit more. And, you know, it's not really the worry about Kane, it's the worry about the rest of the team as well. So, you know, it's still a good run of games coming up for Spurs. It's West Ham next in the derby. It's Chelsea next, two London games, and then it's Wolves, Nottingham Forest, Southampton, you know. So two London games where anything can happen, and then three really good-looking games on paper. So I'm keeping Kane, but still, come on, you can't be blanking against Leicester. But you're not Kane as well, we wouldn't expect it. Right, how am I set up for 24 then? 24, okay. My team is all right. At least the first 11 is. And then you get to the bench. Let's not talk about the bench. We won't talk about the bench. It's Kepa in goal. Southampton at home. Great looking fixture. Best fixture I think you can have at the moment. Southampton just in complete disarray. You know, Nathan Jones came in to sort things out. Failed absolutely spectacularly. Arguably Southampton in a worse place now than when he first came in. Lots of losses for them. No real identity to the team. And then really tough game away at Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. I know Chelsea haven't been great themselves, but you would expect them to win this game fairly comfortably. If they don't win this game fairly comfortably, then I think there's going to be major questions asked about Potter and if he's the right man to get the most out of this squad. So I think we're going to see whether the team is playing for him or whether they've given up on him already. He's cracking up a little bit, I tell you. His press conferences at Chelsea are so different to the ones at Brighton. I don't know, obviously there's a lot of extra pressure and the media are going to be harsh on him and things, but yeah, he's biting and snapping and losing it a little bit, I sense. So, massive game for Chelsea, but I expect them to win this one. I've got the double Newcastle defence against Liverpool at home. Liverpool poor defensively, but got the clean sheet against Everton. Managed to get the win as well. Much better performance on the eye test for them. Their attacking data has remained good, even through their poor spell. So, you know, I'm a bit worried about this double Newcastle defence going into this game with Guimaraes out. They've not been keeping clean sheets as well. And obviously don't get the attacking threat from Botman. So, not ideal, but I think I'm going to have to kind of stick with it. Zinchenko away at Villa. As I said, I'm a little bit worried about Zinchenko's minutes. I wonder if White comes back in and Zinchenko maybe drops out for Tierney. Zinchenko's been playing quite a lot. He's had that injury, didn't play well over the double. We'll see what kind of Arteta does with that. But then the rest of my team looks pretty good. De Bruyne away at Forest, Saka away at Villa, Rashford, Odegaard, Matoma. Massive game for Brighton. Who'd have thought Brighton versus Fulham would be this kind of top six potential you know, match? Huge, huge game for us. We're at home. I expect us we'll definitely score. It'll be a tough game. Fulham beat us early in the season as well. But Mitrovic hasn't really been firing. Really close. I think we've got enough to edge it. Hoping to see Matoma back on the score sheet. And then up top, I've got Haaland, currently captain, and Kane as well. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think I really need to make a transfer. I've got one free transfer. I've got absolutely nothing in the bank, which is a slight problem because you look at my bench and I've got Bueno, Martial and Patterson. Patterson is back in training. I'm hoping that he gets his place back before the blank. Bueno's a problem, coming on 45 minutes, but at least he is coming on. You know, maybe even the 1 point, maybe a cheeky start would be enough. And then Martial is obviously a huge problem, given that A, he's injured, and B, United don't have a game. So Martial is the first on the chopping block. I could just do Martial to Nonto and bench him. You know, Leeds have got Wolves this week. No, they haven't. I'm on the wrong game week. Apologies. Leeds have got Everton, haven't they? Everton away this week in 24. And then they've got a really good game against Southampton in 25. So Nonto coming in gives me a good bench option against Wolves in case any of my attackers do miss out, although I'm not expecting them to. And then gives me another player to come in for 25. Also frees up some money as well. So in the blank, I can move someone on. I could maybe move Botman on and get in someone, you know, more expensive and move off the double Newcastle defence. Or I could upgrade Breno if I wanted to as well. So that's the move that I'm thinking about. It's obviously a bit strange to be doing a bench move. I could just wait. You know, you never know. Nonto could pick up an injury or something against Everton. And like I said, I don't think any of my front seven are going to miss out. I think the good thing about my front seven is it's all the kind of key players for the side. And unless there's a surprising injury, I'm not expecting them to miss out. It's a defence that I'm more worried about, but I don't have the funds to upgrade Breno or Patterson, because I've only got 3.9. I've got nothing in the bank and they're 3.9. So, you know, I can't really do much. I mean, I could move Botman to Tarkowski if I wanted to, that gets him in place. But I'm not totally sure that I want to move off the double Newcastle defence. That's the thing. I think when 25 ends and it comes back and Gomez is back in the side, okay, they go straight into Man City. But then it's Wolves, then it's Nottingham Forest, it's United at home. So two decent fixtures in four for them. Then I can maybe deal with it then. So yeah, it's either going to be Botman to Tarkowski. Or it's going to be Martial to Nonto. Let me know what you think in the comments and in the chat. Sorry, my nose is leaking. A bit hay fevery as well again today. I'm not going to make that joke. It's early. It's too early to make jokes like that. So that's my side. I think it's going to be Haaland captain. I might be a little bit tempted by Rashford. Forest are decent at home as well. But Haaland got a hat trick against them early in the season. And they'll be really flying after that win against Arsenal. So, yeah, probably stick with Haaland captain. Watch list. A couple of new names on here in defence. Perisic is now the joint sort of stats leader, if you want to call him that, alongside Trippier. This is all filtered by non-penalty XGI per 90. So it's all about kind of attacking threat. You could argue that's not kind of why we buy defenders, but I like attacking defenders, so I'm going to keep it filtered like this. Perisic and Trippier both at the top, 0.34. So you're expecting an attacking return one every three games here or there. About Trent, oh my God, really unlucky not to get that assist. I thought if you've held him for this long and didn't get that assist, you'd be cursing FPL Towers. But he's 7.3 million now, gone down a little bit, 0.32. Liverpool defensively, you know, it was good. They kept the clean sheet. I think Van Dijk's back in training now and going to be coming back in soon. So there's some options, but getting to him is fairly hard because you've got three premiums like I have. Reece James, 0.25. Haven't exactly come in looking amazing, you know, sort of from an attacking sense. Potter obviously playing four at the back. He's not playing at wing back, so he's going to lose a bit of that attacking appeal. And Chelsea really struggling generally to create chances. But really good run of fixtures for Chelsea coming up. And I think Chelsea are a team that I'm going to struggle to move to because their players are a little bit more expensive. But they're a team that I really like the look of. I mean, it's Southampton next. Perfect time to invest in the likes of James, Felix, Kepa, if you haven't got him already. Badia Shields on my list as well, who I like because he hasn't got the Champions League football. Spurs in 25, and then look at the run they have coming up 26. Leeds at home, Leicester away, Everton at home. Absolutely perfect. So I'm going to jump down to forwards already and talk about Felix, who is the kind of, main target I think a lot of people should be looking at. I can't get him. I physically, if we come back to my team, I've got nothing in the bank. It'd be Martial that I look to move to get Felix. I can't see where I can drop a million unless I sell one of De Bruyne or Kane. Well, De Bruyne's got Bournemouth in the blank. Spurs have got, a home game in that blank as well. And as I said, I kind of want to keep Kane. So, I mean, I could move Kane to Felix, but I've got issues. I've got too many issues in the rest of my team to really justify that move. So I think if you're looking for a striker or if you're looking for a transfer across your team, I really do think have a look at how you can get Felix into your side, because his underlying stats are fantastic. Okay, he's got a small sample size, but we're looking at 7.5 million price tag, you know, 1.19 non-penalty XGI per 90. He played against Dortmund last night. He had good chances again in that game. The team is trying to feed him, you can see. He's the kind of the main danger man in that attack. He's got the pace of Mudryk on the left. You know, he's got Havertz dropping deep to facilitate things. There's a lot that I really like about João Felix. So, yeah, 7.5 million is a fantastic price for him. And I think if you've got a way of getting him into your side, which I don't, then I think he could be, you know, absolute stormer over the next few weeks. Because, you know, Chelsea are struggling to convert, but they are starting to create more chances. Now, they had a good first half against West Ham. They had a good chances against Dortmund last night. And, you know, you've got to think, hopefully the goals are going to be coming. There's too much quality in that squad for them not to start scoring goals. So, yeah, Felix, have a look at him if you can. Coming back to defence, I've added Estupiñán in. I was a bit disappointed with his XGI in this, 0.16, really, really low. You know, he's 4.7 million. I still think he's the best option to get if you are looking at Brighton defenders for that double in a few weeks. But I was hoping he'd have a bit more attacking threat at wing-back. But we're not really seeing that. And from him, I've added Kilman in as well. Kilman is a pure, you know, he's got Bournemouth in 24. He's got the double in 25, Fulham, Liverpool. Then it's Spurs. Then it's Newcastle. He's got no attacking threat whatsoever. But he is only 4.3 million. So he's a proper short-term punt. Tarkowski's the other one as well. Everton have got Leeds, then a double, Villa and Arsenal. But then at least they come into 26 and 27 against Forest and Brentford. As well, but again, if you're looking for attacking threat, you're not going to get a huge amount with him at 0.11. Jordi Lee, if you had the money to do Martial to Felix or Darwin and you had to do it this week, which one would you go for? I would do Martial to Felix in an absolute heartbeat if I had the money to do that. Darwin's like a good option, you know, got the assist, Liverpool clicking and playing well. I just really like Felix, I really do. I think he's just a really good price. I just can't see how you're going to be disappointed with him between now and game week 28. The fixtures are too good for Chelsea, and he's got the game in 25. So yeah, I would personally move for Darwin in that. I keep calling him Darwin, keep him for Felix in that, not Darwin. But yeah, I mean, Darwin's got good fixtures as well. Obviously got the double as well, Palace and Wolves. I want Salah though. I don't think anyone else quite meets that. I'm just not sure about Darwin. I think if you're going to punt on another Liverpool attacker, you go for Gakpo, who's on my list as well. 0.53, non-penalty XGI for him, which I like the look of. You know, Salah's is 0.64, got the goal as well, good positioning. So, yeah, like him, go for Gakpo in that. Mudryk is on the list as well. Yeah, I'd be interested to know what Chelsea fans make of him so far. I think he's looked poor. I think Potter said he had a cold in the match he played the week before last, and then really struggled again in the last game. Obviously, he's really, really quick, but if the team isn't feeding him, if he isn't really making the most of the time he does have on the ball, then it's an issue. Non-penalty XGI per 90 of 0.38, which is low, considering, especially in his kind of cameo in his first match, he created like a number of quite big chances, but hasn't really done anything off the back of that. So, yeah, I want to see more from Mudryk. I'm much more excited about Felix, I think, at 7.5 than I'm Mudryk. I think someone in the chat said it's a shame that Felix isn't a mid. I do agree with that. Madison's one to watch as well as a mid. I mean, 0.46, non-penalty XGI per 90 over the season. Doesn't really tell the story of him, given that his position has changed a little bit. And since it has, Leicester have started scoring, you know, bucket loads of goals to, what, 10 goals in the last three games? He's started the last two and they've scored 8. It's not easy for them. They've got United away and then Arsenal at home. They're coming into 26, Southampton, Chelsea, Brentford. It's an okay run, especially if we're looking to move off Arsenal players, maybe, if we are looking to maybe just go with two. Maybe if they're still struggling, I think Madison's going to be someone that we want to consider. So, yeah, I like him. As everyone knows, my favourite player. And then up top, I've just added Mitrovic and Nonto in. Mitrovic has been really, really poor. But I wanted to kind of keep tabs on him just because I know the importance that he has, that Fulham side. I think if Fulham are going to, you know, keep pushing for a European place, they need to start, Mitrovic needs to start getting some goals as well. 6.9 for him now, you know, still having a good season. Just surprised with how he's dropped off so far. So, yeah, just want to monitor that. Non-penalty XGI per 90 of the season, 0.47 is okay. But, you know, I mean, it's better than Saka, for example, 0.45. But, you know, we want to see, start seeing a bit more from him. And I've added Nonto, Willy Nonto into this, 0.33. Not the highest scorer of kind of long-range goals, misser of tap-ins, not really what you want to see from him, but he's 5 million and his place looks pretty secure. So I do like him. So yeah, let me know about this list. Let me know what you think. If there's any players I'm missing, if there's any players that you like the look of, be interested to know who your targets are going into game week 24. And yeah, really, really key part of the season. I think between 25 and 29 is going to, you know, really kind of dictate how a lot of us do. So, you know, I'm sort of around the 360k mark. If I can come out of 29 being in and around top 100k, I could even be feasibly thinking about pushing on to the top 10k, which seemed like a pipe dream about a month ago. So yeah, really, really interesting. See people's chips as well. A wild card is going to be used. Are people going to be using their free hits across these different weeks? Yeah, really key part of the season. So I'll be talking a bit more about strategy and stuff a bit closer to the time. I won't cover that in this, but I think next week's video is going to start looking at some chip strategy and things like that. Let's take some comments from the chat. If you want to ask me some questions, I'll take 5 minutes of things like that. I had a bit of a mixed bag. I was on Twitter before the last deadline, taking some questions. I got a couple right. So people asking about Tony versus Pereira. I said Tony. Oh, about 3 points in that. I'll take that. But I did get some wrong as well. I was sure Leeds were going to score in that game. And not only did they not score, but Shaw got the assist as well. And I sold him as well. But I know there's a lot of benches around there. If you had Rico Lewis and you got Shaw off your bench, yeah, I hate you. All right, let's have a look at the chat. Sachin, I have Tony up front. Should I swap him for Felix? Yeah, I mean, Brentford got Palace and then a blank, right? Chelsea have got Southampton. I guess you can probably wait a week on that. You've got nothing else to do and your team looks good for 25. I'd rather have Felix, I think, against Southampton at home, but I think you can probably wait. Tony's got penalties as well. It's a good run of games for Tony as well, but I'm assuming you want back now. I'd probably wait a week. I think I'd keep him. Craig Solvick, Wilson to Felix this week. Yeah, Wilson, he didn't play, did he, in the last match? Got Liverpool at home next, not a bad thing, but then a blank. Yeah, Wilson to Felix, I think I'd probably do as well. Cucurella to Tarkowski this week, or should I roll the transfer? No, I'd keep Cucurella. Chilwell played the Champions League, started that match. I think Cucurella comes back into this. It's Southampton at home. He's going to be a problem for you, Cucurella, with Chilwell back, but I would probably keep him this week. Dean McKinney, what should I do with Tony? I think, yeah, like I said, I think you keep him this week. You know, Palace aren't great. I think Brighton should have had more goals in that match. Brentford are good at home as well. He's got penalties. I think you definitely keep him this week, and then maybe you look to sell him ahead of 25 as well. James A, Mitrovic to Felix. Mitrovic was very good against us in his last match. It's difficult to advise. I don't know the rest of your team, and you know, Fulham have got the game in 25, a good looking home game against Wolves. Assuming you've got a squad out, I'd probably consider doing it. But if you've got other transfers that need to take a priority, like Martial to Nonto for some reason, then I probably wouldn't. So yeah, it's not always an easy one, that question. But assume I'd rather have Felix at home to Southampton this week than I would Mitrovic, but you've probably got other fires to put out as well. Craig again, did Shaw to Akanji instead of Fernandez to Mahrez around 22 points. It's horrible, things like that, isn't it? 50-50 calls. That Shaw assist was really punishing as well, because Shaw's underlying attacking stats are really poor. And it was a brilliant cross from him, but what can you do? Like, it was, you know, I think it was the right decision to sell him or bench him in that match, given things, you know, City had the double and Arsenal had the double, and you know, there's lots of other players that we like to look at. Newcastle had a good game against Bournemouth. I can completely see why people benched him or sold him, but yeah, really, really disappointing. Blake Young, would you transfer Fernandes and Mbomo to Salah and Ferguson for 25? I mean, you're swapping a blank for a blank, aren't you, in Fernandes to Ferguson. Mbeumo to Salah is a hell of an upgrade. Again, depends on the rest of your team. Ferguson, I really, really, really like Ferguson. I think he's a great option. It looks like Zerbi likes Undav, though, which is an issue because it's going to affect Ferguson's minutes. I don't think I'd do it. I think I'd try and find another way to do it. You know, and Bomber's got Palace at home. I don't think you need to be worrying about that too much this week. So, no, I don't think I would. I'd probably do it. Edison to Kepa and Mitro to Felix, worth a minus four. Edison to Kepa's a no-brainer, isn't it? It's got to be. I mean, they've got Forest. Tricky. I don't think it's a no-brainer. Like I just said it was. I would say... no. My sensible head is telling me no, I wouldn't do that. But yeah, tricky one. Tanya, do you think the likes of Madison's are being overlooked because of no double? Yeah, it's not just no double though, it's also tough fixtures. Yeah, United Arsenal next. Southampton looks good, but then it's Chelsea, then it's Brentford away. So it was only really that game in 26 that looks really, really good for Madison. So I think, you know, we are focusing on double gaming players, but also the fixtures don't lend itself too well to it. Final question I'll take from Stephen Gallagher. Would you play Martinelli or Mitrovic this week? I would play Mitrovic, I think. I wouldn't be too surprised if Trossard comes in for Martinelli. He has, of all the Arsenal players over the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, I think the one that's looked the most unlike himself has been Martinelli, which has come at a really bad time for him with Trossard lurking in the wings. So, yeah, I think, you know, Mitrovic is going to play. He's on the penalties. He's going to get the 90 minutes. Whereas not only might Martinelli not start, but he has a high risk of getting subbed on for 58, 59, 60 minutes as well. So, yeah, I would play Mitrovic. I think that will do for now. Is there any other questions? There's quite a few questions. If you want to drop any more questions in the comments of the video, I will do my best to answer them. But I've hit 30 minutes and I think I'm going to go and get on with my day. So thank you everyone for watching. Always a pleasure. Big week next week. I'll be back to talk about a bit more strategy to do with chips and things. But yeah, have a good rest of your week. Black Box will be tomorrow night. Mark was at the game last night. Tonight we can't really do, so it's a bit of a late one. But yeah, have a watch for us, youtube.com/FPLBlackBox. We'll be talking, you know, a bit more Friday night. It'll have a Friday night vibe to it, so it'll be quite informal, quite chatty, but we'll cover all the main stuff, as we usually do. So yeah, thanks everyone, and I will see you all next week.